Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's been a busy weekend, and it's going to be a busy week for both myself and Brian. So it's just a quick intro before the intro. Brian's not here with me, unfortunately, but that's okay. Got to get to the shout outs first. Thank you so much. Seriously, the gratitude is just, I feel it, man. I feel it every day. It's overflowing, especially everyone who's joined up on the Patreon. It's patreon.com/josta if you are interested. But I got shout outs from Venmo. I got shout outs from Cash App. If you've donated to the show, seriously, thank you so much. It's at Jamie Josta, J-A-M-E-Y, on Venmo. And then I think it's $ Jamie Josta on Cash App. Any amount gets you a shout out here on the show. Obviously, anything over $20 gets you a care package if you're in the USA. And that is going to end starting October 30th. So you got to get those donations in before October 30th if it's over $20 and you want that care package. I am running out of stuff, though. So big thank you to Tiana Fortenbaugh, Tiana Fortenbaugh. Hopefully I'm saying your name right, Tiana. Thank you so much. Also, Darshan Kiefer from Arizona. Thank you, Darshan. Nancy Gerard up in Canada. Where are you? Are you near Montreal? Thank you so much, Nancy. Also, Justin Terry over in Worcester, Massachusetts. Big shout out to Worcester. And thank you to Jeremy Ball over in Everett, Washington. And Jeremy, your care package is going out today or tomorrow if you're listening to this on Tuesday. So thank you so much. Also, shout out to Lisa and Corey from Seattle. Love you guys. Stay safe. Who else we got here? We got Brandon Kaiser from Bentleyville, Pennsylvania. And shout out to all your friends and family for keeping it hardcore. Thank you, Brandon. Rob McCrea from Watsonville, California. And Sean Bosford from Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is for you.
Thank you for supporting the show. This is my way to let you
Thanks again, everybody. And yeah, if you want to check out patreon.com/josta, you're going to get like 8 exclusive podcasts per month for, I think it's $5 per month. And then if you want to sit down on Josta's show tapings, you can do the all access tier for $10, and that gets you a bunch of stuff. And then also the executive producer tier gets your name in the credits on every show going forward, gets you a free, what did we do? We did a free bag of pasta, Josta pasta, and you get to sit in on as many Josta Show live tapings on Zoom as you can handle with your schedule. So right now we got the Van Halen tribute show up with Brian Posehn and Dean Del Rey and Steve Gibb. That's up both on Gas Digital Network, and the video version is exclusive to Gas Digital Network. The audio version is on the Patreon as well as a little bonus this week. GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the code Josta if you want to get those 500 episodes in the archive, though. Okay, so Gas Digital subscription stays the same. Still getting some bonuses, still getting early access, but you get at least 8 separate exclusive podcasts per month with Patreon. Let me know what you're watching. Let me know what you're listening to. I've been jamming this new Seven Dust. It's great. Might do a listening party for that on Patreon. Also jamming the new Sodom, which is really good. And I've been watching season 1 of I'll Be Gone in the Dark, about that Golden Gate. I just started it. Golden State Killer, I think it is. Let me know what you're watching. Let me know what you're listening to. JostaShow@gmail.com. Today's episode is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com. Make sure you head on over to IndieMerchStore.com after the show and use my code 15JASTA, and you will see the sick selection they have. Pre-order that new Deeds of Flesh. Check out all the restocks of all the incredible merch. We love IndieMerchStore.com, and you will too. Remember, it's IndieMerchStore.com, I-N-D-I-E, MerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA and save. Today's guest is Larissa Stupar from Venom Prison. We had a great chat. I was so happy to see her face. Such a great band, and just a great episode. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed having her on. And, you know, it's been a little bit of a pickle party on the Josta Show lately, so it's nice to get her on. And she's flying the flag for UK, you know, grind and death metal and heavy music in general. And has a cool story and just a fun chat. So I hope you enjoy it. And make sure you check out Primeval. You know, we talk about the record and what it includes, like the different re-recorded tracks and the 2 new tracks. I know some of you heard it. I played it on the music show, the monthly music show, for those of you who are on Patreon and stuff. But heavy stuff, killer stuff. And yeah, today's couldn't do this episode without, of course, the support of our new sponsor, Omigo. I'm really excited to have Omigo on board. Omigo is the greatest thing to clean your butt with, and we will tell you more about that during the episode. But we got a fan contest. Best fan filmed commercial for Omigo wins $500 plus an Omigo bidet. And we will air the winning commercial at the end of a Gas Digital podcast. The deadline is October 29th. Email gasdigitalmarketing@gmail.com for more info. Now on to the show.
It's not just a show.
My friend, the lead singer of Hatebreed, the infamous and notorious Jamie Josta, is in the building.
That's what's up.
Jamie Josta from the metal band Hatebreed. That guy's famous.
Coffee, death metal, and push-ups.
That's Jamie Josta. Remember Jamie Josta? You know him. He's a podcaster, but he's also a metal man.
I would say, delete that.
That shit is hard.
Hey, what's up? Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Good, thanks. Yeah, sorry it took forever to get it scheduled, but I appreciate you coming on short notice.
Yeah, no problem at all. I haven't got really anything to do since lockdown and stuff like that in the afternoon, so.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I was just saying, I've been through the whatever the stages are of grief since our tour was canceled, and we were supposed to tour together with Parkway Drive, and I think I forget what the stages are. Maybe Joey can look that up for us, but it's like denial, disbelief, then depression,
anger.
And now I'm at acceptance.
I think I'm there as well. I think I got there a little bit earlier when the tour was re-announced without us. I was like, oh, all right, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you if that was because you had already committed to a different tour that you couldn't do the reschedule.
No one's asked us. Yeah, no one's asked us, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was just confirmed without you?
Yeah.
Was it miscommunication with the booking agents or the management?
I have no idea, because, well, before coronavirus hit, we were planning on doing a tour in October, like a headline run. But obviously, when everything went into lockdown and things were getting canceled, we knew that the October tour is not going to happen anyway. So then the Parkway Drive tour with you guys was postponed to October as well first. And then we were like, I think we didn't even know until it was announced that we weren't on it. So it was announced, we were like, oh shit, yeah. So
it happens. Yeah. Maybe they assumed that because your headline tour was in the same period.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And it was announced and on sale, or was it just announced?
It was announced and on sale. I know that Stick to Your Guns, that they had their own plans to do headline run in Europe, as I think, at that time. So I think that's why they thought maybe because they can't join and they had plans, they probably just didn't take us on.
Okay. So this record that they sent me the promo for is Primeval, correct?
Yeah, that's the one.
That is re-records, or some of it's re-records from early EPs and demos?
Yeah, so it's there's two brand new songs as the last two ones, and the other nine, they're re-recordings from our first two EPs.
Okay, so now was that pre-lockdown, or did you just luck out that you had it ready to go?
We actually recorded that in December last year, so we were planning on releasing that, and we were actually really happy that because of coronavirus, like nothing was happening. And we're like, this is actually really good that we did that. And we can put this out for now before we release a brand new record where we can't tour and like play shows with the new album. So it was a happy accident, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I thought, wow, that's kind of good timing, but it would have coincided with the headline tour had it happened in October.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I played one of the tracks, one of the newer tracks, not one of the re-records, but one of the newer tracks I played on the music show, and it got a great reaction. And I thought, oh, it's too bad that you can't be out there playing and supporting it. But what is the latest? Are you going under lockdown again? That's what we're hearing. We're hearing UK shows are not going to happen until maybe not even in March and April now.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone really knows what's happening in the UK. It's just like chaos. Like we have these like lockdowns where the cities, like certain regions, when they hit a certain number that they go into lockdown, but it's also not like a full lockdown. The rules are that you just can't meet with more than 5 other people that aren't in your household, and you're not allowed to have people over in your own house and stuff like that. But other than that, we were actually told that probably for the next 6 months, like no shows and things like that are probably going to happen. And the numbers in the UK are like pretty bad compared to like everywhere else in Europe as well.
And is it hospitalizations as well, or is it just asymptomatic as far as you know?
They're not really telling much. I know they're testing more than they did before, but I think yesterday or the day before we had like the highest new infections number since coronavirus hit. So really? It's even more than the highest number that we had in April, where it was like the peak. So it's actually getting worse now. I'm not sure if it's because they're testing more or whatever it is, but there's definitely less deaths happening at the moment, which is a really good thing, because I think in the hospitals, they just realized how they can treat the symptoms and things like that. So there's like no fatalities or not as many happening as they used to before.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because here I'm about 80 miles north of New York City, and here they called it flattening the curve, and we were able to do some social gatherings with distancing and masks, and we were starting to get hopeful that we would be able to do some gigs. Like there's been some comedy shows and there's been some concerts. Like I'm sure you've seen how they do those pods and they're on kind of like platforms. Yeah. We have a farm that they're doing shows like that near us. And obviously they don't want to do heavy shows like that. But I was thinking like, oh, I'll do a live podcast or I'll do some other sort of event. Maybe a metal comedy show with like an acoustic performer and then an hour podcast or something. But they wrote me back today and they said the concerts they've been doing, the ticket is actually like $100 to $180 for one ticket.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's how they
a lot of money.
Yeah, and that's how they cover the expenses. Because it's limited.
That's something that I was thinking is about a lot as well lately, because obviously when events are allowed to happen again, they are going to be socially distant, yeah, and then all these venues, they're not going to be able to fill the rooms as much as they used to, so the tickets will have to go up. Because if you think about it, if you play in like a 500 cap venue, they're probably allowed to have like 150 people in there max, and then if you count all the bands on the bill, all the crew, that's like half of the people already. So it's going to be really expensive. And then you have to think about how people are going to be ready to pay that amount of money to support live music again.
Yeah. And it makes me think, should we be looking into countries that have a sort of more relaxed policy and more relaxed guidelines? Because a lot of those countries that are writing me are saying, hey, we're doing shows like nothing's happening. And some people are really upset about that. Like some Eastern European countries, promoters have already written me. Like I got an email this morning from a promoter in Bulgaria. Yeah. And I don't know the current state of the shows there, but I know that when we do play there, and it's been a while, but the last time we played there, it was insane. I mean, it was thousands of people going absolutely insane. So there's no way that they're going to be distanced Right? They're going to be, I mean, they were diving off the balcony. It was already completely insane. And although I want to do that, I'm also sort of, I want to go play because I'm really starting to get stir crazy. And I've been going down the conspiracy rabbit holes like too much. I don't know if you, who's the guy, who's your guy? Who's the British guy? David Icke or Ick? I read something he put out this morning. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I had to walk away.
What is he saying? Because, like, I've been looking into some conspiracy theories. I think we all kind of have, like, these things in our heads as well. We're like, is this really that bad? Is it all just very, like, over-exaggerated and things like that? But, like, that's just something we have no way of knowing if you're not a scientist. So we just have to trust what people tell us and then weigh things up and see where we actually are with our beliefs in regards to coronavirus. But, like, I don't know. I definitely think it's there. I don't know if it's as dangerous as they say it is, but it's definitely present. And I mean, it's not as deadly as people make it out to be. That's also kind of a fact, but people are still dying of it. And I think it's kind of everyone's responsibility to protect the vulnerable people, isn't it? So that's why we are doing what we're all doing. And yeah, in regards to shows in Eastern Europe, I think there was a really big festival happening this summer as well in Slovakia, and I've seen videos of it happening with people just like jumping all over each other and stuff like that. And I was in August and I was like, what the fuck, like, how is this real?
Yeah, and then I guess there wasn't any infections that were reported, so yeah. It gives you hope, but at the same time, if there was someone who got sick and then they went and their grandparent got sick or a young person got sick and they had to be hospitalized or God forbid they pass away, then that festival is to blame. And you would think that that would make at least national headlines there, right? But we've heard of some smaller shows like in Switzerland and in Austria. I think Destruction played. And it was 200 cap, but in like an 1,000 seater, but they just capped it, I think, at 150 or 200, and no one got sick. So there's like those little glimpses of hope that we keep seeing. And if they would allow us to fly there, like, I think you can fly, I don't know what the situation is from England, but I think from here you have to fly to Greece, and then from Greece you can fly into Eastern Europe.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Can you leave? Is there a travel ban?
There's no travel ban currently, so we can travel. There's obviously these areas that are considered to be high risk, and then if you travel there, when you return, you have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. But these are areas like Albania, and I think Spain is still on the list and things like that, but you can easily just fly over to Germany and Italy and Poland, and
you can.
So all of that is like no problem at all. I also know that there've been shows happening in Germany. I know Ginger played some shows there recently, last month. I don't know how big they were and how they went because I haven't really seen anything. I just knew they were there, but these things seem to happen. And I know a university in Germany was doing research on live music. So they had this arena, I think it's in a city called Chemnitz. It's like this arena, and they were doing some scientific research in there where they were putting on shows that were, first of all, not socially distant. They obviously had all people, they need all the people to confirm that they don't have coronavirus before they could attend. And they had these tracking devices on everyone as well, where they could see where do people interact more, where did it cross, where could infections happen and things like that. And then they also did shows where people were socially distant. And so they are trying to bring live music back in Europe.
Was that the shows where they had these like sprayers and they were going through the crowd? I saw footage of that and I was like, there's no way I want to be in that. Like, you don't know what they're spraying.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, it's like human chemtrails or something.
Yeah.
I saw that. I forget what, I think it was on YouTube, and it might have been around the same time that I was going down the David Icke. Is it Ick? Is it Ick or Icke?
I think it's Icke.
Okay.
David Icke, yeah.
The article I had read, it was basically saying, you know, that they had kicked him off of Facebook for spreading health misinformation that could they thought could cause physical harm. And that's, I guess, the price of admission with this with this whole pandemic. It's like, if you want to speak out in a way that contradicts, even though here in America, the CDC can contradict themselves like every other week. They'll say, yeah, don't wear a mask. Now you got to wear a mask. It's airborne. No, it isn't airborne. I mean, for the first like month, we were spraying every box. Like if the mail would come or if we would get Amazon, like we were literally like spraying the boxes down, wiping it with bleach and stuff. And then they were like, no, you don't have to do that. We're like, really? Why have we been wiping everything down? Like it was a pain in the ass. It was insane. And then it was all for nothing, basically. But I find that with these really outspoken conspiracy theorists, they sound so good up until a point. Like they're so believable. And then they go so to the wackiest thing where you're like, okay, this kind of ruins the credibility of the other stuff you were saying.
Yeah, but it's always like that. It's not even like with coronavirus, it's like everything, like any conspiracy theory, like some of them are just like, okay, yeah, I get where you're coming from, that's like plausible. And then they like shoot everything away because they like say something insanely stupid, something that's like absolutely doesn't make sense. You're like, oh well, yeah, that's gone.
Yeah, like the Bigfoot thing. It's like, yeah. And believe me, I wish there was Bigfoot. I really do. Like, I don't know if you, is there a Bigfoot of England?
No, not England. I think they have like one somewhere up north in like Scandinavia. And there's probably one in Russia somewhere, like apparently, but not in England.
Okay. So yeah, see, we have a couple different ones. There's like the chupacabra, there's that might even be further like in the south. It might even be more towards Mexico or whatever, or New Mexico or Texas. Then there's the Bigfoot thing. And so when you hear these credible like doctors or scientists and they're talking about other stuff, but then you go on their page and you see they have like all these articles about Bigfoot, you're like, "Oh, you almost had me sold." same with Icke. Although I like the idea of lizard people, like I want to believe there's lizard like in Antarctica, and I feel bad for laughing because I know there's people that listen to the show that absolutely 100% think they've seen a lizard person or know a lizard person or whatever. I was supposed to have Billy Corgan on the show, and I might have said that just in passing, like, oh, I traded messages with Billy Corgan on Instagram. Hopefully he'll come on the show. And I got all these messages, ask him about the shapeshifter or the lizard people or whatever. And I'm like, what is that? And so, but if he has the balls to say that he's seen a lizard person, doesn't make me like his music less? I just wonder if he was under the influence when this happened or...
That's a good question. Like right now, I'm actually wondering, what does a lizard person look like?
Like maybe they can change and they have scales or they have eyes. I don't know. I sort of tuned out once I got to that point. But like, let's just say, let's get spacey. Let's talk it through. Like, let's just say these lizard people do live in the center of the earth or Antarctica or whatever. And they feed off, I've heard different theories, like they feed off negative energy. So right now, would they be gaining all this power because there's all this negative energy in society?
Okay.
And would we see them soon? Or are they just amongst us?
Ooh, that's really interesting. So they're basically feed of like, negativity.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like the lizard, secret lizard Illuminati.
Well, then there is also, because that's like a thing that everyone says in the UK, that the royal.
Oh,
it would
I
make
lost
sense
you there.
In that connotation that they're part of them. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yep, I got you now. What was that?
All right. So in the UK, we say that the royal family are lizards. So it would kind of make sense in that way, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. And that guy was a creep, right? He was on Epstein's Island and stuff.
Oh, shit.
Right? So he could be lizard people.
Yeah.
He's
definitely one of them.
He has to be. He doesn't look right. I'll post that link. We're already demonetized on YouTube for talking about this probably, but I'll post the link in the show notes. I think it's called Conspiracy of the Lizard Illuminati, but you can watch it on YouTube. They've taken his COVID videos off of YouTube, but it's fun to think about, but I'm at the point where I'm like, I gotta just tune it out for a little bit. Like, I'm too conspiracy theoried out, and I have that little tinge of the addictive personality where then it's all I'm going to consume.
Yeah. Like, I was at this point in lockdown where I was like, that's when the whole Pizzagate thing was kind of coming back up again. And then you just sit there on your phone and you just go like further and further into like, and it can get so crazy. And I think almost everyone was at that point when they were like reading up on all kinds of conspiracy theories. So it's very interesting, like what people can come up with. But what I always want to know is like, why? Like, why are you going so deep into these things?
I did go down the Pizzagate rabbit hole for a little bit, and I came upon the I think you froze up again. I did come upon the spirit cooking thing and the artist that was doing like the spirit cooking. Oh my god, we don't even want to get into
that.
I don't even want to talk about it. We're already demonetized, definitely, but I'll send you a link that you can check out, but it's gross and it's weird. But then when you do see that what those people were posting, and then also their like art collections and stuff are very, really sketchy and creepy. And you would go, why would you want that in your house? Like, why would you want this art with, yeah, I don't even want to say it. So, yeah, you know what? Let's get off that.
All right.
I was
going
to.
I am intrigued, though, so you need to send me that.
I will.
Hey, everybody. It's Jamie jumping in here to remind you today's episode is brought to you by Cushy Dreams. That's right. Cushy Dreams is grown in the U.S. It's hand-trimmed, never machine-trimmed. They take the artisan approach. Every run is small batch. They make CBD that doesn't get you high, but it's actual flower. It's actual CBD bud. It tastes great. It looks exactly like high quality weed. And you're not going to get arrested because they send you, if weed's not legal where you're from, they send you like this documentation when you order it. It's actually pretty cool. But if you've ever tried CBD, it has the calming effects and it's sort of just more immediate with smoking, right? It's smoking less weed and smoking Cushy Dreams instead helps people, especially if you don't want to be high. Now, if you go to cushydreams.com and use the promo code JOSTA, you're going to get 20% off. That's Cushy Dreams with a K, Buster. Cushy Dreams, 20% off. Big thanks to Cushy Dreams. Now back to the show.
I was going to say before you signed on, there's only like a few things that I will remember from a long time ago that I'm still angry about. And I don't know if you hold anything like that from past. It could be whatever. It could be a situation with somebody but one of the things that I still get angry about was when I was like 15 or 16, I went to a show. I was very drunk and I had also taken just random drugs that someone had given me and I didn't ask what it was. I just sort of popped it in my mouth and chugged it with a beer. And I was so wasted, but I was coherent. Like I knew what I was doing, but I couldn't really talk in coherent sentences and I couldn't I remember giving the guy at the door the $5 to get into the show. Yeah. And I remember thinking, like, everybody's looking at me. I must be a complete mess. I got to hold it together. I remember being like, hold it together, hold it together. So then I go to the wall and I'm kind of like just leaning against the wall. And I'm like, I got to sober up because I'm going to get thrown out of the show. And this band that was playing was so heavy and they were amazing. And it was so like, it was like a religious experiment. It was so loud and my body was shaking. The bass player was so loud. And it was this like, the vibration and everything, it was like enhancing the high or the hallucination that I was having. Yeah. And then they stopped and there wasn't that many people there. And I saw a friend of mine and he goes, that was fucking sick or whatever. He's like, let's go to the merch. And I was like, I can't move. Just go get me a Coca-Cola or get me a coffee. And he's like, all right, I'll be right back. And then it felt like an eternity. And this other band set up and they started playing and they were called Those Melvins, not The Melvins. They were called Those Melvins. And I thought that the Melvins were going to play. So that's why I paid the $5.
Oh, no.
But they were called Those Melvins. And they were more like pop or like Weezer, kind of like, I don't want to say pop punk or indie rock. I don't know what the genre was, but they were really good. But I was so wasted that when I got over to the merch, my friend was like, here, and he had an ice cold Coca-Cola. And I remember it so vividly. It was so refreshing. And it just reinvigorated me. I felt like so relieved. Like I was like, all right, I wasn't gonna have a panic attack. But I said, I want this. But I couldn't say it. I said I wanted the band's album. And I kept pointing, like, and the guy was like, what, dude, what? He said, I want the album. He's like, all right, it's $8 or whatever for an LP, which was cheap, like back in the day.
Yeah.
So I got the album and I went home and my buddy came with me and we put it on my mother's record player and it was so heavy. It was like death metal. And I don't know why they were on this show with a poppy type of band. Maybe they had a night off and they just needed a gig and the promoter let them play.
Yeah, let them jump on.
Yeah. But so when I woke up the next morning, the album was gone. And this is back in the landline days, like no cell phone, nothing. And I call my friend and I'm like, dude, why did you take that band's album? What were they called? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, the band that we saw, the first band, not the one that was poppy. He's like, I didn't take the album. And I'm like, well, where is it? He's like, I don't know, dude. Why would you think I would steal from you? I mean, he was dead serious. Like, he was totally serious. He's like, I would never steal from you, dude. You're my friend. Like, that's fucked up that you would even accuse me of that. I said, I didn't say you stole. I thought maybe you borrowed it. It was so heavy. He's like, we didn't listen to an album.
Oh my God.
And I never found out who the band was. I asked the promoter, like, whatever, a week later or 2 weeks later, and he gave me the name of the band, or he gave me a name of a band, but it wasn't that band. Because I went to the store and I said, do you have this band? I want to say he said it was Gruntruck, but it wasn't Gruntruck because they were on Roadrunner and they were kind of like metal grunge style. They were a decent band. But when I asked the kid at the record store, he's like, no, they're Gruntruck's not death metal. I go, this was death metal, like with growling, was low. It was sick. And I still, to this day, I never found out who the band was. It drives me crazy. Have you ever had any situation like that where you just get mad about something from so long
ago? Oh my God. I never really like hold grudges, and I've never really been like that fucking angry that I remembered it for. I think the reason why you remember this situation is because like you love this band so much, and like you still don't know like who the fuck is this, you know? The one thing that I always remember, and I don't really get angry about it anymore, but I just laugh about it, was actually when I was a kid, because I grew up in Russia, and I went to school there, and me and my best friend, like, we were, like, inseparable, and she was a bit cross-eyed and, like, a really nice, lovely, like, really lovely girl, and, like, she was really shy, and we were both, like, two of the best ones in our class, and this boy, like, took her homework and, like, wanted to copy it, and then he, like, ripped her homework apart because she wasn't giving it to him, and I got so angry. Like, my mom was a teacher in that same school. I got so angry, and I punched him in the eye. And I was like, don't talk to my friend like that. Like, she was crying. I was like, you can't do this. And then that was, like, the one time that I was, like, so angry that I just wanted to protect my friend because this little girl was crying because this boy just ripped her homework apart. And I was like, I'm going to punch you. Like, I didn't think I was going to punch him, but I just went for it. And it felt pretty fucking good.
We have to out him. We have to find his VK page or his yeah. Facebook, and we gotta be like, we're still mad about this motherfucker.
I still remember his name as well, so I'm definitely gonna look him up.
You should. That would be hilarious if we just sent all the podcast listeners to break his chops online. Like, that's fucked up. You did that to Larissa's friend. I did have a friend another time where I think we did mushrooms. Now that I'm thinking about it, nothing good had ever come about when I was under the influence of something. But I had a friend who, you ever know anybody who was a pyromaniac?
No.
See,
but he actually loved saying shit on fire.
He did, right? It's always okay. A bad sign. If they're, especially if they're super young and they're already into lighting shit on fire. That's a warning sign. That and, like, hurting animals. Like, I remember a kid was, like, trying to burn the like a ladybug with a magnifying glass.
That's a serial killer right there.
Potentially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate when people don't give insects the respect, right? Like, everybody knows a vegan that's, like, swatting mosquitoes. It's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you can't have it both ways. the kid that was burning the ladybug, first of all, you know when ladybugs, they get smushed, they smell really bad. Did you know that?
I didn't actually know. I never smushed one, so I wouldn't know. But I didn't. What do you smell like?
I smushed one by accident. And back in the day when you would have to, now you got the automatic window in the car, but
yeah.
Was like right at the tip of the window. And I felt so bad. But then when it smushed, it has a really bad smell. And it was even worse when the dude was burning it with a magnifying glass. I was like, dude, what are you doing? But later on, I might be embellishing the story a little bit. I gotta warn you, we call that Brian Williamsing the story because he's like a newscaster here that said he was like in helicopters in the war, but he never did any of it. If it's the same kid that I'm thinking of, he also burned me with incense once. Like we would light the incense if we were smoking cigarettes so that his parents couldn't smell it, and he came up behind me with it and got me right on the neck and just sizzled me, like, and I never talked to him again.
Good for you.
I cut him.
Stupid. Like, why would you do that to anyone?
He was so lucky I didn't kill him, because I really thought about it. I had never been that mad before in my life, aside from when I didn't figure out who that fucking band was.
Are you sure the band actually played and existed? Because, like, if you were so fucking high, who knows?
Seriously, I really hope they exist, and I hope one day, like, I see the record. Because I kind of have an idea of what the record looked like.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hire one of those, like, crime sketch people.
To draw that for you.
They always get it like very close. It's like kind of crazy how they can get it really close to what the people describe the people as or whatever. But so when you, what age did you leave Russia?
I was 10 when we left and we moved to Germany because my mom is German. My dad is Russian. So kind of, because we used to visit family in Germany all the time. So at some point we just decided to move.
What's Russia's like, besides vodka, like what's their like export?
Their export? Honestly, I don't even know.
Like they don't get credit for anything like that, right?
No, but they do have really good food there. Like, but you gotta be used to that kind of stuff as well, I guess.
Like, I feel like they get a bad rap for like not producing stuff, right?
Yeah, but I actually had like a really interesting conversation with my mom because my parents obviously lived in communist Russia because I was born in 89. That was kind of where it all ended. And I never really asked them before. I was like, what was it like living in that kind of state and stuff like that? And she actually explained to me that it had like obviously really good things about living there, but what was really strange, and for me I understand why now, is the fact that everything was just about the collective. People didn't get like recognized for like inventing something really cool or for just producing something interesting or for fashion or like science, anything like that. People just weren't recognized. It was just either for the collective or if it was something that wasn't in like communist enough for them or it was too capitalist, it would just disappear. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why we don't know like any really cool stuff that's coming out of Russia, you know what I mean? So that would kind of make sense,
right? Because without that vehicle to promote or market it, how do you find out about it? The first time we went there, it was incredible. Like kids met us at the airport and people were crying in the front row and it was amazing. And when we went to the hotel, fans were waiting at the hotel and this girl gave me a book of poetry that was translated from Russia to English. And I hadn't slept in like 24 hours. I went to the room, I started flipping through it and it was amazing. And I was like, how have I not heard of this person? And then of course, when I woke up, I was late. I raced down to the lobby to get in the van to get to the train station because we had to wake up super early to take this like 10-hour train to St. Petersburg. And this train was wild. People were knocking on the door. They're trying to steal our shit. I mean, it was crazy. It was freezing. They gave us like these little sandwiches and stuff. And then I'm looking for the book and I fucking left it at the hotel.
Oh man, that's like one of the worst things that can happen to you. Like when you find something really cool that you enjoy and you just forget it somewhere. That happens to me quite a lot. And, yeah, maybe the person who gave you that book is listening right now.
I hope so.
And then they will tell you. Yeah, go on.
She did email me, and then I emailed her back. She said, oh, I'm so-and-so, I gave you the book. And I wrote back, and I got a bounce back. So now that's two things that I can still be angry about. Losing that book and not knowing what that fucking band was. But with Russia, I think now it's cool because they have killer bands. They have amazing artists. Like when you see on Instagram, especially like the tattoo artists and they have some really dark, like Paul Booth type of artists.
Yeah. Do you know that guy who did the Behemoth artwork and A Wolf in the Throne Room? I think his name is Dennis Forkas. His art is amazing. It's so fucking dark and like, I can like scroll through his Instagram and be like, oh, this is so good.
Let me see if I can send that to Joey in the chat. We can pull up some of his his art, and we can share it on the screen. But yeah, like now we're learning more about all these different countries and not just their exports. I don't mean to sound like such a capitalist, like what's their export? I just mean like they don't get the credit, and we should give them the credit for some of that stuff. Let's see here. Where's Joey? Okay. I think it's FORKAS, right? His art.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I wanted to ask you was, I was taking some notes earlier before the show, cause there was we had this weather warning. It was just really quick and it didn't come near us. And I get worried cause we've had a tornado here touch down, but you don't get tornadoes where you are, right?
No. Ever.
See, that makes me think, like, because there's this whole, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, there's this like weather manipulation that people believe in, that they're weaponizing the weather. Have you heard of this?
No.
Oh, all right. I'm gonna send you a couple articles.
That sounds pretty fucked up as well.
Okay, yeah, here's some of his art. I gotta follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, you should. It's amazing. It's quite obscure and like really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to do for our, maybe we won't have it for this album, but maybe for the 25th anniversary of Under the Knife, I want to do a Hatebreed art show where we feature art like around the band, you know, by artists all over the world. And then, and this, the guy who actually gave me the idea, it was years ago, this guy, Hydro 74, he's a really cool, like vector style art artist. He's like done work for Nike and Star Wars. And he's a huge, hugely successful artist. And he was like, I love the logo, but I want to do my own version of the logo. And he did some cool shirts for us and stuff. But he said, why don't you ever do an art show? And I thought, yeah, you know, I don't know of a lot of bands that have done that, but I thought that's, I wouldn't know how to split the profits or how it works, like with a regular art gallery. Like, what percentage does an art gallery take? Do you know?
That's a really good question. I have no idea, but that's probably something you can figure out by just talking to artists who have had their own exhibitions. I know Elleran, who also did your artworks and he did stuff for us. He does some exhibitions at festivals sometimes, and maybe that's something that you could look into, because the people who do art, they do the exhibitions as well, and they will actually know. So
yeah, because they,
when shows are back, you can obviously link it in with like a little show or festival and then have the art exhibition. That would be pretty sick.
Yeah, I thought it could be cool. And then you could feature artists that might not have had a chance to have their art in a gallery or at a show. And then and the one, actually, I think I've been to two different art shows, but one was cool because you could kind of bid with the representative from the gallery. So if two people wanted the same piece, there was almost like a little mini bidding war.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's great for the artist. And obviously, the person who reps the gallery, you know, they get a little bit higher of a commission if there's demand. But yeah, that was just one of those things that I thought we could do, and it could still be socially distanced, and we could play the album like a listening party. But
yeah, that's a really good idea, to be honest.
I was going to say, when we were in Russia, people gave me art as well, and I still have it. But it's weird. Like, you don't want to put up a painting of yourself, like, in your house. Like, I feel weird about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Geek Squad comes, and they're like, what is wrong with this guy? Like,
he loves himself. Yeah, it is strange. Like, we get some, like, fan art as well, and it's, like, really, really cool. But, like, that's not something that I would hang in my house, because it's one thing to hang like a picture of yourself hanging out with your friends or family, but then there's another thing of just like, it's like, this is me, this is I'm so cool, you know, that's kind of what people would think of
me. Yeah.
But I think if you feel like you really want to embrace that piece of art, not just because it's you, but because someone made it and looks amazing and it reminds you of something, then why the fuck not?
I know. I thought, oh, I could put it up at the studio. But then like when the bands go in the studio, they'll be like, this guy. Who does he think he is?
Yo, everybody, get your butt clean with an Omigo bidet. That's right. Today's episode is brought to you by Omigo. They're going to shoot water up your ass and get your ass clean as a whistle, baby. They make an amazing bidet that's going to change the way you poop, all right? So it's easy to set up. Your girlfriend's going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. The experience of washing your ass is great, and it's better than using toilet paper, which you're just smearing that shit around. Get it nice and clean, baby. With Omigo, you can turn any toilet into a bidet. It's so incredibly easy to install. No need to call a plumber. This is a DIY job. Head on over to MyOmigo. That's MyOmigo.com/Josta after the podcast today, and they'll take 15% off your order. So get a bidet, all right? No more ring around the ass. No more, you know what I'm talking about. Get your ass clean, nice and clean. So fresh and so clean, clean. Like Outkast says, go to MyOmigo/Josta. Take 15% off today. Now back to the show.
The what's the app that you can have it listen to the song? Do you have that?
Fuck, what is it called?
Shazam. Okay, Joey.
Shazam. Yeah.
See, that's what I needed back then. Like, if we could time travel, take the Shazam back and while they're playing, like, hold it up and be like, please, I need to know who this band was.
Do you know this podcast is called Reply All?
No. What's that about?
So it's, I can't even describe it. They often just like take stuff where people have got like issues with the internet or with their Bitcoins, and they just kind of investigate like, oh, what went wrong with that and stuff like that. And there was an episode where someone had remembered a song like all their life since the 90s that they were constantly singing. They remembered it so well, but no one else knew that song. But that person was like, this was on the radio, like it was a big hit, but nobody else remembered, and he couldn't find that song anywhere. So the people from that podcast helped him track down the song and the artist.
No.
Yeah, and he remembered it so well. Like, he knew all the lyrics, he knew how to sing the lyrics, he remembered like how the drums sounded, how the guitar sounded, and he kind of like recorded a version of it, like just using his voice. So he like played all the instruments with his voice. Like, it sounded really funny, but the people from the podcast kind of went to like this producer and were like, here's this version of the song that this guy remembers. Can you kind of like put it together, make an actual song of it? And they did. So then they were going and asking all kinds of people, like producers and record labels from the 90s, like, do you remember this? Do you know why this has disappeared? And like, it's really interesting. I think that's what you should do.
I should hit that podcast up.
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of the artist or group?
I have no idea. I will send you the episode though. It was really interesting.
Okay, cool. We have some of our patrons here who are on our all access tier and our executive producers here on Patreon. So I want to thank, we have Vivek P, we got Paul Fairley, we got Daniel Zamora, Andy Wilson, Adam Amico. And if you guys want to ask Larissa or myself a question, I see Vivek wrote, that book, The Outsider. I watched that show with my daughter. That character feeds off people's pain and grief in that show. Yeah, that show was freaky. I think it was like
HBO. I watched it as well. Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. That one guy was such a good actor when he was like taken over by the outsider or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a season two of that?
I think so, because I wasn't quite sure if the outsider is actually dead in the end, wasn't it?
Right.
I would love to see a second season.
That was a real, like, it was tense when they were shooting. I was like on the edge of my seat. Yeah, it was. And normally I don't get affected. Like, I sometimes you feel like I've seen it all in every movie, but that actually, the acting was really good. So yeah, if you guys have a question, you could either write it in the chat. I never pressure anybody to put their camera on or have to talk on mic, but you are welcome to, if anybody has a question for either of us. I did want to say, when I was thinking about your name, I was, cause I pitch ideas, with every guest, and I was thinking about the band name, and I thought, could you do a tour? Venom Prison. Venomous concept on the same bill, like too much God. Venom tour. Could you imagine?
That sounds actually pretty sick. But we always get people, mostly on Twitter, being like, oh, who the fuck does this band think they are? They just stole Venom's name and added prison to it. I was like, what?
Right, yeah. We have a segment here called Yours Is, Ours Is, where it'll be something that's similar, and we'll be like, oh, yours is Venom, ours is Venom Prison. But the Venom Prison, if I think about that, I would think about it like as the paralyzation that one would get if they were bitten by a cobra or something. Or what is the meaning behind the name?
Well, there's actually no meaning. We actually came up with the name when we were just like brainstorming, and Ash, our guitarist, because it was Ash and me who started the band, he kind of always had this Venom Prison thing in his head, and we're like, this actually sounds pretty metal, let's just use that. And when I think of Venom Prison, I think of just, like you said, just something so paralyzing that entraps you within your own body that you just can't escape it. So that's Venom Prison for me.
All right. Yeah. See, okay. So I was close, but I've been bitten by one snake, but it wasn't a venomous snake, and it didn't really hurt. It felt like little, I don't know. It felt weird. It was
Did it feel kind of like a cat scratch or something like that?
It felt like less sharp cat teeth and a lot more of them, like more like kitten teeth or something.
Yeah.
But have you ever been bitten by anything venomous?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, no. So there's no like personal connection to it. Was anybody in the band?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that would be hard, right? It was like, oh, how'd you come up with the name? Oh, our guitar player, he was out in Sedona, Arizona, and a fucking rattler got him or something. We're like, what? The clickbait that I was getting when I was going, down that rabbit hole, especially the David Icke stuff. One of the ones was this article where you click on it and it's like, so-and-so, saw this, I think it was like an attack. And it's like, scroll down for more. And then it's all these ads. And then it's like, you got to click to page two to see like what the attack was. So I clicked to page two and it's like, and then as they race towards the scene, the EMTs were there, and it's like, click to page three. I'm like, this is, so I quit after page two. I was like, this is the most fucking clickbait shit I've ever seen. But what is the worst clickbait you've fallen for? And actually, this is a two-part question. And then do you have, as seen on TV, like, do you have that aisle in England where it's basically, before we had clickbait, it was like the shit they sucker you into buying that looks cool, but it's none of it works?
We don't have it right now, but I'm pretty sure it used to exist like back in the days. Yeah.
Like an egg thing. And it's like, you cook these perfect eggs in the microwave.
Yeah. It's like,
or like the bacon shelf
and shit like that. Yeah. We actually still have that shit in some shops. It's just like shit that no one ever needs.
Yes. Like, it's like this amazing hat dryer, and you got to like, and you're like, why do you need that? But if you buy it, cause it's an impulse buy. I feel like that was the precursor to clickbait.
Definitely.
where they're like, okay, we can't get you with the physical item anymore, so now we'll get you with the digital bullshit.
Yeah. I think I usually fall for clickbait when it's just like, celebrity kid stars, what do they look now? And it's like, oh, I want to know what this kid from, I don't know, My Girl looks like now. And then I just like click on him, like, okay, this is not him. And then you click on it's not him. And it's like, I really want to know now. So I just keep going.
Yes, like the kid, I did that the other day. That's so funny you said that, because they did that. And there's the kid from the movie Sixth Sense. He looks like he got stuck in a Venom prison. He looks like he got bit by something.
You know what, like the weirdest thing is that most of these kids that were into like movies in like end of the 90s, they look absolutely fucked now. Like Macaulay Culkin is probably like the most famous example of that. It's like, yeah, their childhood must have sucked.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm no Zac Efron, but the kid from Joey, can you pull up the kid from Sixth Sense now? He definitely looks like he got bit by like a tarantula or something. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He's always welcome to come on the podcast. I would love to hear about, what was that other one he was in? When he was a kid, he's like, he almost like won an award, I thought, like an Oscar. What is his name? Yeah, there he is. Oh, he doesn't look that bad.
He still looks exactly the same, just with a beard.
Wow, he's like, he's got like the forever young, he's got that like forever young look.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when he was little, he looked like an older man, but little.
Yeah, he definitely did. I really liked his haircut when he was a kid.
I know, right? Great actor, for sure. Did you go to university?
Yeah, I did.
What was because my daughter is gonna do online schooling. She took a gap year, but I was looking at some of the classes, and with the savings, like you have to. I was talking with the people at the savings, like they have to, it has to, like, you can't just have them cut you the check, right?
Okay,
it has to go to the institution, but it can be more than one, right?
Yeah.
But one, it has to be like one that's under their banner, like that they sort of approve. And one of the online schools, some of these classes just seemed like bullshit. Like they weren't real majors, but do you have that where you are? Like, is it a major? Is it what is the credits that you get?
Well, we at the moment have like the system where you just have a bachelor, which is like the undergrad, and then you have the postgrad, which is the master's. And I don't really know much about the online universities, how like what kind of stuff they do, but I definitely know there's some schools that aren't like actually like credible schools and universities, and like they have all kinds of stuff. You like, oh, study like graphic design or computer science, but you don't get like an official certificate. So like what are you actually paying for? I did graphic communication in uni, and I studied here in the UK, and it was because I started uni in Germany as well. And it was very different because, like, I don't know what it's like in America, but in Germany, you just pick and choose whatever, like, classes you want to attend. Here in the UK, we were just given these classes that we needed to attend there and then. And that was kind of very, very different for me because I didn't have to put my own timetable together. It was just there already for me. So it felt kind of more like school than actual university.
And did they take the credits from the classes that you took in Germany? Like, did those count?
They could have counted, but I haven't finished the first year there, like, fully. So I just started all over again.
Okay.
But, yeah, they can take them over.
Now,
if it's, like, the same major that you're going for, then they can count them.
Okay. Because I have like a ninth grade education, and I look at some of these classes and I'm like, is there a practical use for any of this stuff in the real world? Like, were any of the classes that you took, like, can they apply to a day job or to any sort of career outside music?
I would definitely say so, because it was basically graphic design. So anything that we learned there, we could apply in like a real job or like in the real world. But there's definitely subjects that you can study where you're like, what the fuck are you going to do with this when you like graduate? Especially, I feel like a lot of people don't go into like scientific majors for like sociology and stuff like that. Like, what do you do with it when you finish, other than working for a university? That's just like something that I could never quite understand.
Yeah, and I want my nephews as well. Like, I have one nephew's 14 and another one's 16, and I'm telling them, like, look, TikTok is cool, you know, Snapchat is cool, but you need skills. Like, don't, yeah. I'm like, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Like, please, like, have some sort of skill. And same goes with my daughter, but my daughter is very skilled at like all different things. I mean, she can build things and she's an artist. And so, and I don't know where she got that from. Like, maybe from my mother, maybe it passed, like it skipped me and went to her. But so she won't have any worry with a career, but looking at those classes and what they'll actually cover from the college savings, I did start thinking, like, what's this next generation gonna do when everything starts to become like automated and especially here, like, good luck starting your own business now, because you can't even open up even if you wanted to open up a little something, like if you had money saved, it's so risky.
Yeah, especially with like the times now where everything's so uncertain. I don't think it's the right time for young people to like choose what they want to invest their life into and what they want to be when they're older. I think it's really hard now. It was hard back when I was younger already. Because, like, you finish school, you're, like, 16, 17, 18, and, like, what the fuck do you want to do with your life, you know? But I think you're, like, absolutely right at the moment, young people. I actually spoke about this with some of my friends before. I think social media and the internet has kind of ruined the childhoods of all of these young people, and they don't really have these basic concepts of human interaction anymore, and it's actually really sad to see.
Yeah, I don't want to say like socially inept, but it's like socially just a step behind.
Yeah, it's really. And everyone just wants to be kind of like an influencer or a YouTuber. And
yeah, do you have TikTok stars in England?
I don't even have, yeah, we have loads, but like I have never used TikTok because for me, it's like I've seen friends using, like, that's just not for me. I think it's more interesting for younger people and like kids.
See, my nephews are like, you got to do it. And I'm like, why? It's not really my audience. And they're like, you'll get a new audience. You got to do coffee, death metal, and push-ups. I'm like, really? And like, yeah, just put on death metal and just do push-ups. And I'm like, all right, maybe we'll do it. But when I did the pasta and they were cracking up, I brought them some bags of Josta pasta and they were cracking up. And I said, let's cook some pasta and we'll put it on your TikTok or your Snapchat or whatever it is. So who knows? Maybe we will do that. But yeah, I worry. I got one of them investing. We got my nephew a custodial account or a UTMA or UT or UGMA. I think it's UTMA/UGMA. We got him one. He can't touch it until he's 18. But he's really smart about that already. He's telling me, like, Nike's, you know, in a dip. I want to put, you know, $100 on Nike, $100 on this company. He said Foot Locker, which, it wasn't a dip, and now it's making money. Like, it's already up like a couple bucks.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, you might be onto something there. But yeah, I wonder where the jobs are going to be when all this stuff happens. And then I wonder if especially the musicians that also have day gigs and other gigs. Like, I wonder, is this going to light a fire under everybody's ass and everyone's going to have side hustles, or is it just going to be like this time where we're like, are we going to go, what did we do? Why didn't we use the time better?
That's a really good question, because in the UK, they've already said just like, yeah, some of the jobs are not going to exist anymore. So you kind of have to already start looking somewhere else and like start a new career and something different. And they actually meant people who are in entertainment. So it's, and in the UK, they also announced that they're not going to like support the entertainment industry because they don't see it as viable during coronavirus, which I kind of get, but I think they seem to forget that entertainment also generates money, you know? And I think in like, especially in these times, I'm so happy that I actually finished school and I went to uni and I got to learn something, even though I was doing music this whole time, but it was kind of like, I think everyone who like plays in a band at all like hopes that one day they're going to make it and things like that. But I think it's always good to have a backup plan.
Yeah, I do too. I know that there's, maybe I said differently like 15 years ago. And I know that that's something you see with like those entrepreneur talks and stuff, like you got to be all in, all or nothing. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Maybe that's how it was when pre the crash in 2009 and then now pre COVID. Maybe you could say, okay, yeah, go all in on something, but it's not one size fits all. Everybody has a different economy in different cities and a different setup. Like I remember when we first played LA, I was like, so wait, there's no public transportation. Like there's no subway, there's no city bus. Like, oh, well, yeah, there's a city bus, but it doesn't come that often. And I'm like, there's no train. Like, what do you, that was like, I was like, I couldn't live here. I that was a lifeline for me. And actually like, I got a new thing where I think, don't trust anybody that's never been on public transportation. Like, your life has just been a series of green lights if you've never had to take a city bus or a train, or, you know what I mean? Or is that bad?
It's like, oh, I I'm so successful. I bought a house with 21. Like, yeah, with your dad's money.
Right. I know. Yeah. I hate to generalize, but I think that's okay. If you've, and they're like, well, but I grew up in, you know, Montana or whatever. And there was no, I'm like, still, you should at least find one city bus and take it just so you know what we had to suffer through.
Yeah. Definitely.
So before we get out of here, and thanks so much for the time, Larissa, and hopefully we'll be able to do something again. You know, when all this stuff gets, I don't know, blows over. Have you rescheduled the October run to next year? Is there set dates?
We're actually rescheduled it to end of January, start of February, but with all these new things being announced, we also said that like, we know this might not happen, but here are the dates and this tour is not going to get canceled. We're going to postpone it if necessary. So we did give that like warning. I think there's a question in regards to that as well.
Yeah. Okay. I see that from Paul. Yeah. Oh, cause that was with Creeping Death.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would you socially distance at those shows? Cause what was the size venues?
There were like 500 cap. So I was going to say, if the tour is to happen, it might be socially distant, it might not. It depends on what the legislation is like in certain areas at that moment. If they need shows to be socially distant, they are going to be. We just want everyone to be safe. So we don't want to risk our health. We don't want to risk our crew's health. We don't want to risk the people's health who come to the show. So we would definitely do whatever necessary to keep everyone safe.
Cool. So, okay, we got one other question here from Vivek. He says, Larissa, how do you come up with the lyrics? Do you do the bulk of the writing or do you collaborate with the rest of the band? I like that your songs make me think and learn something new. I thought it was cool that the last record incorporated Sanskrit.
I write all of them myself. I sometimes, after I've written a song, I go back to It's usually Ash and show him the lyrics, and then he just, because I want that confirmation, like, okay, from him, like, oh, this is good, and like, oh, if he says, oh, this is awful, I'm obviously gonna scrap it and write something else. But yeah, I just need to hear from someone sometimes, so yeah, this is cool, so that's when I show my lyrics. But I just write them, and well, yeah, how do you come up with lyrics? I think for me personally, I like to get inspired by real life events. The world is bleak enough, so I don't really need to invent that many things, but I like to incorporate religious themes and just mix them up and reinterpret them myself as well. And yeah, our last record was called Samsara, and it was about the internal suffering, the cycle of death and rebirth, and about mental health and things like that. So I kind of thought that would go well together.
Cool. Yeah, we talked about that, a little bit about that on last night's show with Jesse Leach. And we got into a little bit with Wino too, just about, I think we talked a little bit about reincarnation or you know, where we are, right? Like, if this is, I mean, it's such a special place where we're alive, we're on Earth. Yeah, sure. Maybe we're having stuff hidden from us, right? Like the true meaning. Are we at like a lower level of heaven? Are we at a higher level of hell? Are we going to be judged? Are we going to be reincarnated? Yeah. I always like records that sort of incorporate those topics, the dark and the light, because you can't have one without the other.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
You know, when you're looking at David Icke and you're like, why, like, am I a lizard person? What's and then you're like, then you get distracted because you're like, oh, what is this? Oh, what does the girl from American Pie look like now? I haven't seen her in so long. And you just
that's definitely me. It's like sitting down to write something, I don't know, really thought-provoking, and then I see like, ooh, why is the girl from Strange Things doing right now? Like, okay, that's me, gone.
yeah, I saw that too. It's like, why is she talking to Drake? Like, Drake, you're like 40, bro, don't talk to her. Did you see that one?
Boys, apparently. Yeah, we live in a strange time.
We definitely do. Well, if we do get anything rescheduled and it's a Hatebreed and Venom Prism on the same bill, your manager had said you want to jump up and do Proven with us.
Yes.
So you're always welcome. And
I would love to.
Hopefully that'll happen. You know, we'll see. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm trying to stay optimistic, but man, some days I'm like, fuck it. Fly me to Albania. Let's go to Slovenia. Let's go to Estonia or where, you know, the Bulgaria, wherever they're emailing from. Like, hey, we're still doing shows. But then you just don't want to be the one that causes, you don't want to be the band that causes some cluster of an outbreak. And then they're like, they're shutting down the whole country again because of, you know.
It's Hatebreed's fault.
Look at the name of the band. They just hate humanity. They just hate everybody. They got everybody sick.
That would go Fox News for sure.
Yes. And I'd be like, no, why? Yeah, so hopefully we'll have some news soon, because we're supposed to do Wembley. I was gonna say you could just come to the Wembley show and jump up and do it there in April, but I'm starting to get worried about that.
Well, April, how far along is that? It's like over 6 months, so I do think that we need to start, or the governments need to start realizing that this is here to stay, and we just need to learn to coexist with this.
Yeah. And if you have a pre-existing condition, let everybody know, or stay home, or let's have extra precautions for you. Like, I thought, let's shoot a video with everybody in the bubble, like the boy in the bubble. And,
oh, I love that movie.
Right? We'll have them moshing, but it'll be like they'll be in the bubble.
That's so sick.
And we'll just have like, I don't want to give it away on the podcast, but fuck it. I'll just have to make sure I do it now if I give it away. Actually, I'm not going to give it away, but believe me, it's so good. We were going to do it at Wembley. I don't want to give it away because some band's going to rip it off. But I'm telling you, I'll tell you, I'll email you when I email the David Icke, the links and stuff, but it's going to be so good. and it's going to be safe and it's going to be fun for everybody. And no band has ever done it. Like, cause they'll message me and they'll go, you guys took the helicopter thing from Skindred. And I was like, no. We took it from Red Hot Chili Peppers, who did it at Rock in Rio in like 87. I have the VHS tape. And then maybe they took it from us and popularized it. But you know how like every band will have their thing?
Yeah.
Like Slipknot has the everybody get down and jump up. Well,
so this new that idea of yours is gonna be your thing.
It's gonna be unbelievable.
I really want to know now.
I'll email you and get your take on it, because I think it can, even with social distancing, I think it can be done. But I'm just hoping that there, I know they use that term herd immunity or whatever, because like Sweden's doing shows. I think they're doing, like Soilwork did a weekend or has a weekend coming up this month, two gigs. And I don't think they're social distance because they're having herd immunity.
Yeah.
So that's what I hope for here, at least. Because I really don't want to play the shows with everybody spaced out. And
yeah, that sucks. Like we've done some of these live stream shows. We've done like two. And it's weird because like there's no one in front of you. It's like, you know, it's like back in the day when you played your first three shows and no one was there. That's exactly like it. So it's like it's really not as fun as playing an actual show. So I can imagine playing where people just stood like 2 meters apart. Like it's not really a good show to play.
Yeah.
You get pumped up by like people reacting to your music and enjoying and living your music, and that makes you also just like hyped to play. So that's just something that's missing.
Yeah, not having that push and pull,
yeah.
that balance of the energy. I know. And what can you do? The live stream thing. It's like, what, you know? Are you can do pyro, or you could do performance art. Like you could incorporate maybe someone behind you or on the sides of you doing performance art, and try to change it up and make it a multi-dimensional type of performance. But even then, those people then have to be tested, right? Because then people might watch and go, what if they get sick, or why are you doing that? Or, you know, you never know. It might not have the,
yeah,
a good reaction. Right. Like it might be like, you stress people out by not having, you know,
give
not
everyone anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause now I watch shows that where they're like hugging and they're like high fiving and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, that's weird. Like I haven't seen that in a while.
Have you had that feeling as well? Cause after like lockdown at the moment, when I go out in public and like go shopping or whatever, and there's like so many people around, it makes me feel really stressed after a while. I'm just like, I really want to go home now after like 30 minutes or an hour after being out in public. It's I'm really not used to having that many people around me anymore.
Oh, it's terrible. I hate it. And tonight, right before I needed avocados. And yeah. I was like, I don't want to go to the store just to get avocados, but I was just craving a ripe avocado with salt and a little bit of hot sauce. I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I go in and I get it, and they have this big display of chips, or as you would say, what is it? Crisps.
Yeah.
And it's probably it's right up to my forehead, and there's no one around, and I'm getting the avocado, or I thought there was no one around. And this guy like walks around the chips where I can see him, but he can't see me. And he just farts and he just lets it out. Like he came over there to let it rip. I'm like, dude. And I startled him. He's like, and he was so embarrassed, but he had the mask on and he just walked away. But I was like, this motherfucker, he crop dusted me.
Oh, that's fucking gross.
Yeah,
there's
I
like
didn't
one, like just farts in public is just something that I find really disgusting, because like it's fine if you like smell your mate's fart or like your partner's or whatever, or your like someone from your family, like you know those people, right? But like you you stand somewhere and watch your band play, and then someone farts, and you're like, this is gross. I'm smelling someone else's shit.
Yeah, I didn't want the avocados. And he wasn't even that close. But he was close enough. Like, he's probably within, like, I don't know, 10 feet where it was audible. And I just pictured, like, the fecal matter landing on, like, coming down from the air. Like, and it, so when, but I did buy the avocados. I came home. I washed them really good. But, yeah, I was like, I didn't know if I should say that on the podcast, but I did. So. But congrats on the record, and we'll make sure everybody goes out and pre-orders it October 9th, Primeval, and two brand new songs, and the others are re-records from the older EPs, you said?
Yeah, that's right.
And in America, it's different from, you can order where, like Empiricon and from your Bandcamp and stuff, but in America, you got to order it from the label?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, the Bandcamp link is also run by the label, so I think if you order from Bandcamp, it either gets sent to you from America if you order from America, or from the UK if you order from Europe. And we also have pre-orders on our website, which is just lendonprison.com, so that's the direct band ones.
Okay, well, thank you so much for the time, and good luck with everything, and hopefully that tour stays intact. And Creeping Death is hard. We played them on the music show too.
Oh yeah, I can't wait just to being back on the road, and hopefully your tour is going to happen. I can come and see you in playing Wembley as well, so, because that's fucking huge.
Knock on wood, I say.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was really fun.
My pleasure. I'm glad we got it scheduled, because I know we talked about it for a while.
Yeah.
and finally the schedule is lined up. And thanks everybody who joined in from Patreon. So thank you, Joe. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Daniel. And who is Daniel the last one standing? All right. And everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. with Mark Tremonti. And if you want a real good laugh, Larissa, go watch Creed. I'm sorry, Mark, if you're listening. Go watch Creed playing at the Dallas Cowboys game. That's what you could do for the next Venom Prison live stream. They have these like guys on like silk, and they're like flying around.
I'm definitely gonna consider that. I'm gonna check it out.
you can do like a demonic like figure and do like the black silks, and yeah, someone's gonna take the live stream to the next level.
Well, we are. The Behemoth one. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah. The church and the pyro and everything.
Yeah, it was just insane.
And did you see the license plate when he had the little trailer?
No, I haven't seen that one.
So
what did it say?
It says Satan. Or like one Satan or M1 Satan or something, you know? Of course. He's a riot. Yeah, he's something else, that guy. All right, Larissa. Well, take care, and thanks so much. And we'll make sure we get you some first day buyers and some pre-orders on the record.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Joey. Thanks, everybody. Oh yeah, our special guest producer, Joey. Thank you, Joey, for doing this last minute.
Of course, my pleasure.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow with Mark Tremonti.
Produced by Brian McKay. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, Niall Scholar, Richard Miller, Morgan Costner, Zappagore Waikato, Josh Lipinski, Matt West, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Jeffrey Kewen, Devon Chandler, Crystal McLaughlin, Justin Steven, Brian Underkoffler, Zach Timmons, Andy Wilson, Mark Tagg, Kyle Marg, Wesley Seven, Bill Gustler, Let's Talk Resident Evil, James DeGroot, Jason Rary, Jason Jarvis, Chris Lloris, Alex Smolin, Vivek Pawar, TJ McKee,
JJ Hernandez, Joe Bartovic, Tyler Sadawiak, Chris Lloris, Nick the Irish Dago, and John Blewett.
Hey, it's just a quick outro after the outro. Thank you so much, everybody. If you want to donate to the show, it's at Jamie Josta on Venmo. Anything over $20.
gets you a shout out and a care package. Anything under $20 gets you a shout out on the show, or maybe you got a dedication for a special friend. Also got Cash App, $ Jamie Josta, JameyJasta. Don't forget to check out Patreon for a ton of bonus exclusive content. Patreon.com/Josta. And of course, the Gas Digital Network subscription stays the same. Over 540 episodes in the archives and bonus content and a ton of great other podcasts like Louis J. Gomez, Real Ass Podcast, SDR Show with Big J and Ralph Sutton. And of course, Believe You Me with Michael Bisping and Louis J. Gomez. And now we got Rob Flynn from Machine Head on the podcast front as well. All right. GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use my code. Use the code JOSTA. Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. YouTube.com/TheJOSTAShow. Get us in those algorithms, baby. Please, if you like the podcast, hit the like, hit the subscribe button. It really does help us out. Also, check out martyrstore.net today if you want to get RSVP, basically tickets to the beer can release for Bree Brew this Sunday, October 18th at Witch Doctor Brewery. It's starting at 12 noon. Sean Martin's going to join us. Frank is flying up. It's going to be a socially distanced, safe, mask wearing meet and greet. And we're going to have a lot of fun. You can take home 4 packs of the Breed Brew Live for This Lager, limited edition cans. I think it's going to be a good time. You can RSVP over at martyrstore.net, and you'll see there's some new Weight of the Fall Self pre-order packages as well. Speaking of pre-order packages, head on over to indiemerchstore.com after the podcast today. Check out all their awesome restocks, all their awesome pre-orders, everything from... They got new Black Dahlia Murder merch. I saw they got a Halloween shirt. They got new Carnifex merch. They got a ton of new Deeds of Flesh bundles. That's going to be killer. Also, you could pre-order the King Diamond. I saw he's doing the Dark Sides on Orange Marvel Vinyl. I'm going to have to spend some money over at IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA. Or I think it's 10% off now. I forget what the code is. Just tweet me or hit me on Instagram or email jostashow@gmail.com. All right, everybody. I plugged martyrstore.net. I plugged, what else did I got to plug? Oh, who do we got coming up? We got Mark Tremonti coming up on Thursday. So that's going to be a great show. And then next week, we got Carl from Earth Crisis. We got Jamie from Code Orange. We got a lot of good stuff planned. So thank you for listening. Thank you for all your support. Get out there. Slay the day. Keep the PMA to the grave. Drink your coffee. Do your push-ups. Listen to death metal. Love you all. Thank you all. Bye-bye.